Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Have you ever wondered what is possible beyond possible? What is the thing you've been wondering and inquiring about? Are you just feeling stuck and don't know why? Are you thinking or are you seeing? Seeing allows us to expand and have this other experience. We want to invite you for that wake-up call. We want to invite your spirit, your soul, so to be more alive, more connected. Glenn Brooks has been a life coach for over 33 years, author of Divorced to Patterns, Not Each Other, an explorer of what is possible. He has worked with people all around the world. Join us for a wake-up conversation, a dialogue with you. We will have some of the most interesting contributors. We will be talking to some of the most interesting people and have some of the most resourceful teachers, wisdom-filled people from around the world join us. Share your voice, ask the questions, become free of the known into a new world of possibility. We are going to talk about all the things you wonder about: how to live, how to heal, how to connect, how to love, how to be seen. Your life is precious. Enjoy it.
Good afternoon, good morning. It's good being with you. I'm Glenn Brooks for Vibrant Living. I always listen to the intro and realize it's really about experiencing and engaging, right? It's not so even about necessarily about talking. As I was listening to that, I realized there's been so many times I didn't really have a clue, but I entered into something. I entered and listened differently, and realized in the listening, and what I call listening to the listening, I could see another, I could see something different. And that's how I learned and discovered a very one-of-a-kind approach to, it's not just speaking, it's being able to move your message in a whole new way. And as I want to acknowledge Kai Cole, she's in Italy as we speak. She's usually sits in the role with me of dynamic duo, energy generator, distinguisher, inquirer. So she'll be with us next week. I wish Kai wonderful good things with her grandmother in Italy, Rome. And a pleasant surprise, Carrie McKenna, who was with us last week, who actually feel is going to be part of our Vibrant Living team. I have that sense about you, Carrie. I love the name of your business. Say that the name of your business is Magical, is it Magical Sequence?
Magical Shift.
Magical Shift. I like that better than Magical Sequence. All right. Welcome. Mm-hmm.
Good. Thank you.
Welcome. Yeah. So and Maureen, let me know when you arrive. Let me know when you're there. Boy, this is such a wonderful opportunity, Carrie, because I was thinking about, we talked last week. We had a conversation. You know, there's this great question during Passover they ask. You know, I'm not that religious per se, but there's a question during the Passover holiday, which is, what makes this night different than all other nights? What makes this night different? And when I work with people, and I just see it, we had an amazing session last week with some new people coming in to the network, and all this really interesting stuff kind of comes up, because a lot of times what people do, they'll think, well, radio's like this, or TV's like this, or movies are like this, and really what it's like is our body is this instrument. So actually, people's bodies change when I work with them. It changes the way they move. It changes the way they kind of move, but then listen, and their receptivity changes. So we do a lot of, I guess, exercises around that. And I felt talking to you last week, we spoke a little bit about vibrant writing, the ability to move your message to the next level, how to write in a way, and I thought today would be a fun thing, just have an open conversation, but we got our next Vibrant Living Summit, which I wanted to talk about, coming to Rhode Island in partnership with Natural Awakenings, Maureen Carey is wonderful. We started out 4 weeks ago, and I said to Maureen, I said, let's begin an infinite collaboration. So what is an infinite collaboration? Well, an infinite collaboration is beyond bartering, it's beyond exchanging, and it's beyond trading. It's where you both see the end result and you come together for another level of prosperity together. So when I hear people are looking for something and they want to find a job, many years ago, one of my teachers said to me, he says, the only way to experience having this thing called a job is to live from having it. And so because I couldn't get a job, you know, I had no interest in getting a job, actually, very early on, because the only experience I ever had with jobs was, you know, temporary jobs. I was temporary jobs. And the last temporary job I ever had in my life, Carrie, and I got very close to the woman who would give me these jobs. So she called me up and said, Glenn, so I was 19 back then, right? So she said, well, I have this job. Are you going to put styrofoam squares in cinder blocks? And at the time, I already was coaching people. I already was working with people. I could already see that their bodies would change, the breath would change. We had certain conversations. And then when they saw me again, I was on my paper route. It was another source of income. So I went to this, I went to go do that job. And I called Ann, who gave me the job. And she said, Glenn, she goes, you're supposed to do this. So she really nudged me. She really nudged me. And next thing I knew, I was giving a talk. I was giving a talk in upstate New York at a place called Fanny Schaefer's Vegetarian Farm. And I was talking to these people, 80, 90, and over 100, about what I was learning from this guy, Dr. Norman Walker, who wrote a book called Become Younger. Kind of a funny thing. I was talking to them about longevity, and they were like much younger, and they were pretty amazing. So kind of what happened was I realized at a certain point I wanted to actually assist people to create their own careers and then go beyond the whole notion of career. Like, how do we actually – getting back, going back to circling back to the collaboration, infinity collaboration, infinite collaboration. I started to see that I learned some things that weren't accurate around money, around life, around the body. And so I realized at some point, vibrant living, I was interested in becoming more vibrant. I was interested in living what Mark Twain said, that true success was turning your vocation into your vacation. And I wanted to be a very specific instrument. This is my first wave. I wanted to be a very specific instrument of being able to communicate this to people. And a lot of times they would come to me, all kinds of interesting people, people who had inquired and wondered and sometimes suffered. And I began to do sessions. So even before there was coaching, Carrie, I was actually doing sessions with people. So when my first wave, I was a life enrichment consultant. And that was my first wave. And then I went to spend time with the psychiatrist, Bob Shaw, who studied people around the world who produced unusual results. And I was in that training, and I realized some of the things he said so resonated with me. We explored a lot about how a person's presupposition and their assumptions really sometimes totally get in the way of things. And I realized I didn't have the language of that, but it made me aware of why there was so many things that didn't speak to me or invoke a certain quality. So vibrant speaking, our vibrant living summit, infinite collaboration, these little things kind of, I don't know. It seems like once you can find the language of something, we'll play with this for a moment. Once you can find the language of something, you could begin to communicate with it. You know, once you could find the language of the heart, the language of the invisible, the stuff that's hard to articulate, and distinguish it. That's kind of what got, you know, that kind of was my thing. But I learned a lot because people would tell me what they were, you know, what their challenges were. And So here you are today. I'm so happy you're here. I'd love to have a dialogue with you. It's wonderful. I really.
Well, you're reminding me of how large communication is, because our need to express ourselves is innate in our bodies without words, without that linear kind of thought. And if somebody were standing next to you, you could have a connection where you don't have to speak. I did this the other day. I invited one of my guys to a date, and I said, we're not going to speak the whole night.
Mm-hmm.
What do? We're going to take a walk. We're going to eat. You know, mm-hmm. we can speak to other people in the room so they don't unduly focus on us. But, you know, to each other, we're just going to have silence. And it was incredible because there wasn't anything we needed to explain to each other for that night. And this is a new person to me. We were new to each other. So it was kind of like, not brand new, but like our second date. And it was in a very rich evening. And when I was in theater for 12 years in Chicago doing mostly physical performance. So sometimes I'd have a scripted thing, but sometimes it was improv or it was performance art. It was collaborative dance, it was whatever it was. And I loved that kind of physical theater because you're communicating on all the levels and you're embodying the meanings. And so without words, you can have meaning. And then when you're trying to communicate something to another person directly, you're trying to funnel it almost into a chord, and that chord is language. And when, or, you know, it could be written mm-hmm. language and it could be spoken language, but I find that it's a narrowing of the meaning, which can be very, very useful to make power out of it, like concentrating it and coming up with a word. So the word can invoke so much meaning. The meaning is there first, and then the word starts to form it into something concentrated. And then when it reaches the other person, let's hope it got through, because there's a lot of choice around that. There's choice, like you mentioned, choice whether to hear it. There's choice when you're making the language and you're creating something to say. There's choice of whether to leave the listener some room to hear it or room to interpret the way they need to. And I'm finding that to be a real fascinating hill that I'm exploring the sides of right now. That when you talk with another person, their style and their take on the world, their negativity, positivity, perspective on who you are, etc., all those things go into, I need to give them room to interpret that. Because even though I've done my best to concentrate my language, the other person needs that with rights and freedom to interpret it. And it can go from there, you know, then they get to, you know, mull over what their meanings are and come back. But that's dialogue. And I think that there is this sort of catch-22 when it comes to what you want back. I think that's where we get into trouble, is that we want something particular back. Mm. Like you were saying, you know, expectation or, you know, needs and desires can really narrow the field of what your meaning was to begin with. It can really muddy the meaning.
You know, it's funny, before Kai left, I said one of the things I wanted to explore today really was how to ask for the moon and get it. Mm-hmm. How to ask for the moon and get it. Because people ask me about asking and what that is. And so a lot of times when people come to see me or are meeting new people, right, so first thing is, or one of the things is to really see where they're, I sometimes call them thought viruses, or maybe assumptions or conclusions are, so that, you know, there's another level of engagement and listening. And I like what you were saying. I mean, it's a very, I do a lot of exercises, right, with people that are nonverbal and very physical. As an example, I have people get up and give talks just with their body. As an example, I have part of the room just listen, you know, and we play a lot with this 80% realm, that nonverbal. We sometimes play with sensing. I mean, and so it's an example. I put the conference together in Rhode Island. I'm inviting speakers, and I also help speakers, or you could call them embodiers or you know, catalysts, different ways. I always think of the image of being in school and like having, feeling a pulse in my heart to say something, but then getting used to the rules of the classroom. You know, it was kind of like, well, you got to raise your hand.
Wait your turn.
Right. Oh, by the way, this is how I develop things. Before I go to bed at night, and I give this to my students, I actually learn what I do through specific body movements. So I listen to certain movements, and then when I'm working with a group, I ask them to pay attention. If we're working for a few days, I have them pay attention to the movements as well. So like when we developed Vibrant Matchmaking, it was really, I was playing with the idea of the end of dating and the beginning of relationship, where relating begins, kind of how dating gets in the way. Sometimes the challenge is we're in something that doesn't allow us to go deeper. Right? We're kind of on the surface. So the idea of the Vibrant Living Summit in Rhode Island is that we're going to have speakers and also people who want to be this type of speaker, this vibrant speaker, and have people like you, Carrie, give talks and ask the audience to engage. We have so many interesting topics. So we actually have vibrant medicine, vibrant movement, vibrant dogs. A lot of people want me to do stuff on dogs. I've done some amazing shows on dogs. And beyond your shows, like, I don't do interview format. I do series on things that go depth, and a lot of times people come together, and either in person or over a phone, Zoom or something. So we got vibrant matchmaking, vibrant medicine, vibrant movement. Oh, yeah, integrity and real food. We have some chefs there. We're going to start a vibrant movie festival, so we're going to show a film. I'm working on my film now, which is called The Announcement. And in that film, by the way, so I said before about the body movement, in that film, when I clear, so what I do is I kind of clear my mind at different ways of using imagery. And then my body started to, in the film, I saw myself dancing. So the opening scene, I'm going to be dancing. So I'll be having people on the radio who are professional dancers. They'll be part of our team, which I certainly want to get Rolf by you. So, and we'll tell the audience, and really a lot of people have no idea what Rolf. Rolfing is the most confusing name of a business I've ever heard, actually. People go, what's that? It's funny, but I had a Rolf. What's funny is people say two things when I say Rolfing. They say, oh, that's the stuff that's painful, or they don't know what it is. That's the two most, common responses I have.
Yeah, I have that too. As a Rolfer, that's exactly what I hear. But Ida Rolf actually thought that there was a certain pounds per square inch that you needed to press on fascial tissue to get it to change, and we found that that's not true, and we don't teach it like that anymore.
Wow.
So it isn't as painful as people think it was, but it deserved its reputation at one time. It's just a reputation that still plagues us.
Well, you know what's funny? I'm going to tell you guys. I will continue. We continue. We're talking with Carrie McKenna, who's, I like to think, an aspiring vibrant living team member. We'll talk about what it means to be a vibrant living team member. We'll talk about our network and how you can live more freedom, riches, validity, and infinite collaboration. Stay with us for the Vibrant Living Network in a moment. I'm Glenn Brooks.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Vibrant Living Network. I'm Glenn Brooks. True success, according to Mark Twain, is how to turn your vocation into your vacation. True success, in my mind, is also how we do this relationally. You know, the biggest myth is that we can do things on our own. We really actually need relationship. We need a team around us. We need people that see us, recognize us, and invoke us. So what you're saying, Carrie McKenna is with us, who, among other things, is a Rolfer, a writer, an actress, a would you call yourself a rebel? What did you just say? I missed that one.
Crystal grid healer. What was the last healer?
Well, metaphor. Yeah, that's such an interesting thing. So talk about that for a second. You know, I tell you something. What you were talking about today, imagine being in a room of people where people really have this innocence of allowing in this new message. I've been in rooms where people have discovered, we had this woman come once, she wanted to write these books on feng shui, and everybody in the room said to her, you know, you should put books on tape for children. She had a wonderful voice. So we did these groups about tripling our income together. So there's something that happens. I think about the message we get. A friend of mine wrote a book called Money Is My Friend, Phil Lout. And we used to talk about this together, that the messages for money are like so intense, kind of like don't take money from strangers. Don't take money from friends. Definitely don't take money from relatives. Well, who's left? Mm-hmm. Known enemies or something. There's nobody. Right. Is that me? Right? So when I first started to do this, I mean, it really was up. So that was the line you could never cross. You could never really cross and ask for money because it meant all these things. You know, I mean, you were a bad person. You couldn't do it on your own. And depending what family you grew up in, you know, the messages were pretty, you know, most messages, by the way, in families are nonverbal. So for instance, I learned a lot of stuff from my father through his body that, like, I could see when something dropped, he would get very upset. But I saw he would hold his breath. And so for many years, when I was at dinner tables and something dropped, I would always breathe. I'd always exhale.
Absolutely.
And so I discovered Rolfing because I was very, very close with Dr. Valerie Hunt. And Dr. Valerie Hunt studied people who had healing attributes from around the world. She was a scientist. And she took me in. We were very close. And one of the things I learned from her is don't put any of these people on a pedestal. I used to call her and say, I would talk to her like she was a very wise aunt, which she was. When she was 89, she had open heart surgery. And she said to me, Glenn, I was waiting for these surgeons. They were too slow. She goes, I had to sit up and tell them, guys, I got stuff to do. Let's get going here. It's during her open heart surgery. Right? So she was a very powerful. The last thing she left me with, Carrie, and we're going to have people at the Vibrant Living Summit not just talking about stuff, but we really want to invite you to experience and interact with people so that it's really an experience of connection and community. And we're opening up Rhode Island. When I say opening up, we're going to have hosts in Rhode Island. We're going to have groups in Rhode Island. I'm going to bring my Vibrant Matchmaking with Maureen, our vibrant Matchmaking, which is beyond dating to really relating. No more dating. Forget about dating. No more dating. So the last thing that Valerie said to me was that there was a medical doctor, and he saw his son get shot in front of him. And what she said to me about that was that shock never left his body. He developed this type of work where you release the shock. So when people get sick, the idea was that they got shocked. So when I first started getting interested in the body, I realized, and I love that your work is about grounding. I had a conversation 4 days ago with a friend of mine, and she says, Glenn, she goes, I've never heard you so deeply grounded. And I stopped, and I was like, I noticed that when I was in my ground, it was so different. And almost like when people come in a room together and they drop in together,
yeah,
it becomes this different thing. Because I think a lot of us get freaked out a little bit. We get used to leaving, right? So they're hopefully not being shocked.
I was just talking about, I was writing about this in my memoir, which I'm almost finished with. Basically that every time there's a pretty major trauma that I can pop out of my body and just float above my head. I think we all do this.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
For how many years, just being trained as a Rolfer, I'm an empath too. So all the energy in the room was being granted to me, and I was riding the wave of everybody's energy. And of course that just blew me out. So about 10% of Rolfers get freaked out during unit two when this happens. And I'm one of them. So I know exactly what you mean by just popping out and just being out there and not needing to come back for a while, because it's just too shocking. And that shock is just kind of a trigger that becomes easier over time. So it's actually sometimes hard to know whether you're in or out. And I think people walk around in that state a lot.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, my deepest experience of that, and I'm so, by the way, I'm just so happy. I want to thank Dr. Jerry Leedsman, the academic advisor for the conference coming up at Harvard, who's become such a good friend. I feel like we started on sort of formally, such a good friend. And the whole conference is about the brain, the body, and cognition. And myself and Kai Cole are going to be presenters there. So that's right. I'm finally going to Harvard. It took a while, but I'm in. We got our letter of acceptance, Carrie. So it's a new thing that, hey, you know what I want to do right now with you? I want to do something with you that I think, I want to do a ceremonial, I just came up with this word. I want to do a ceremony induction with you becoming a Vibrant Living team member. And based on the principles of, you're not ready for that. Okay, all right. I was thinking that would be a spontaneous thing.
The first rule of all invocation is that it is super serious and I need to, you know.
Okay.
I need to commit myself first.
All right, all right. I want you to.
It's because I respect it that I don't want to just jump in.
No, I love that. I love that. I love that. The only thing I would say differently, and it may, we probably mean the same thing, is I say to people all the time, that life's way too significant to be taken seriously. We must give it our attentiveness, but not seriousness. But I appreciate what you mean by that. Yeah. Yeah. I just invited Chris. It's so wonderful, own Times Radio. I told him I would send him and his wife to Rome, which I will. So, you know, the whole thing is it's a different approach. It's a different approach. You know, we come in here and we think it's about do, be, have, and jobs and survival, and that's the non-song of the day. So if I had to say this one thing, as I'm working on this movie, I want to say it's one of the most profound experiences of my life, because when I went through two years where I stopped, where I really was kind of out of, not just in some sense out of my body, but I was in a shock state. And it was the wonder of it was I could begin again. And the wonder of it was is I had some insight about relational transformation that just opened me and has deepened me, in a really profound way. And I respect, I love what you just said, because it's interesting you just said what you said, because I actually just started a letter for people who want to be a Vibrant Living team member that really states their commitment, their vision. And so I respect what you just said. What are you curious about? Because we're going to be bringing the summit. What are you curious about the Vibrant Living Summit coming to Rhode Island with Natural Awakenings, and I'm going to have speakers come from around the country, and most people that I'll be working with on cultivating their deep talks, their message given body centered talks. What are you curious about? I know you have good inquiries.
Yeah. The first thing you said to me over the phone when you first called me was, you seem like somebody who can bring the energy into the body. Got that from my spiel, and it was like I earth things, I ground things, and I bring people down to the question at hand it takes a lot of energy for me to do that, because depending on how far out somebody is, but I like to ground things in the body. And so that was the interesting thing about getting together, is getting together not on media, because media is so disorienting and ungrounding to me, personally. So when I can hear about anybody actually getting together in person, I'm on it. but my curiosities are many, and I've I don't have a very specific idea of what is intended there. So I've got the concept, but everything I have to ask is a very grounded question. When?
It looks like September. It looks like September. Mm-hmm. We're meeting right now. The last time I did this, let me give you a model for how I've done this. And I've done this with clients, and I've had people come to see me go around. So the first thing is that when I agreed with Maureen that it was coming to Rhode Island, that was the beginning. The beginning of the miraculous happens via agreement. So we agreed we're going to do this together. We agreed on the collaboration. And what I have found that everything else begins to fall in place. So then the other question was, well, who could coordinate the location? So it's really, boy, there's so much wonder to this. So we agree upon dates. The last location I used was a historical theater, beautiful, beautiful theater. And I started to talk to people around the country. As an example, Elaine Gibson, she was in her 60s when her doctor told her she had to say goodbye to her grandchildren. That was probably 9 years ago. And she was going to give a talk called Who Says So? Or I think it was a different. So I met these speakers. We had dates. And I decided what I would do is I would feature the speakers over a period of 10 weeks on calls. So I want to give you a little feel for, there's dates. It's a three-day thing. It's a three-day event. And the idea is this: there's talks. Each person is a vibrant speaker, meaning that I've worked with them. I've helped them dig deeper. Even if they've been professional speakers or they've been authors, I kind of help them bring something very specific to this. We have Vibrant Speakers International. Mm-hmm. So we have dates, we have a location. I do this very aware that of the power of in-between, the in-between space, the hallways. You know, you're taking a corner around the building and you talk to someone. I realize these are very magical, powerful moments. I tell people that it just takes three people. It takes three people to totally profoundly change your life. So I ask people to really reach out to three people there. And rather than going to a TED talk or they're listening to someone else's message, I'm also interested in having it be a place for infinite collaboration to occur. Mm-hmm. I don't see it as a one-time thing. And when I open up I have many markets that I work with people regularly in all around the country. And I'd like to think that we're building something that's pretty extraordinary. So it's so let's see. So we also have experiential, you know, like an experiential area where you could experience. Well, it's an example. If you were rolfing there, and have an area where people could experience that. It's kind of like going to a place you could experience, take in, let go, have some fun, explore new movements. If you want, a lot of people come, they might want to write a book. Some people come just to renew. Some people come to explore. So it's a three-day event, and I usually partner with someone that I have this infinite collaboration with. Maureen is the publisher of Natural Awakenings. It's been said she knows everybody in Rhode Island, and I find her to be an absolute sweetheart. So here's something that's a real hiccup for people. People don't know how to, a lot of us are not educated from trust. So when I listen to people speak and what their concerns are, a lot of how they experience business is from caution. And it's the same thing with their relationships. And if you listen to most of the business and the dating conversation, it's a conversation of red flags, cautions, holding back.
Exactly.
And by the way, funny enough, that's the same. Yes, waiting for the shoe to fall. It's the same thing with speakers. So I just I put out a lot of
that comes from.
Yes.
I have to always put in a little bit of a tweak to things and say, you know, women in particular have a higher notion of protection than men, and unfortunately needs less for a long time in the world. So I think that some of that caution comes from that.
Say more. I want to explore that with you for a moment. That's an interesting conversation.
Well, it's something that I feel has happened to me. I can only speak for myself, but personally, that there are a lot of people who have a certain amount of safety in their lives tend to have a lot of verbiage around other people's non-trust. People who don't have to worry about being assaulted as much tend to put a little bit of an exaltation on trust that is a luxury that we can't afford as women most of the time. And so I think that as much as women are 50% of the population or something, we also influence the culture back to that. I mean, it's an obvious, you know, circular giving, receiving of this mistrust that, you know, we have not earned our safety yet in the paradigm of the planet. And we're on that. We're on it. We're going to get there. But I think that that's just a factor in the sense that most people do come from a non-trusting place. I agree with you.
I want to say, so I'm an experiential, I'm not just an experiential journalist. I live in a way where I experience what I talk about. So as an example, I had met this, well, she's a medical doctor and she works with energy. It's pretty amazing. So when we first met each other, see, here's another thing I teach people. You don't need to know someone. Knowing gets in the way. Knowing gets in the way. So when I first met Catherine, within the first two meetings, she said, no one had ever seen her before. She said she went to Brown University, she graduated medical school. That was the most profound thing anybody ever said to me. So about 11 days later, she came to see me. And the most interesting thing about that experience, we spent 7 days and nights together, and our trust was very deep, and it was almost like, it's so funny, you know, it's funny, there's a woman, there's a very well-known person who just put this out there, she says, tell me who the man. What's kind of great is, I want to say, Catherine, there's a lot of women that on my team that we talk about this, and so the messages now about men in the media are very toxic, closed messages and really form a lot of suppression and ignorance. And the women that I speak to about this, so I think it was Layla Martin who said that, who does a lot of interesting stuff around intimacy. She said that, well, boy, I'm really curious if we could have a conversation about who these embodied, deeply sensual, aware men are. Because right now, what's being generated by a lot of women is a conversation of men either being deviants or they're forwarding a conversation of threat and disconnection. And there was an article from some women.
Yeah, the stage we're in to have to call it out first, and then we can heal it and shift it.
Well, it's interesting. I have a different perspective, and the different perspective is that in calling it out, we create more fear and separateness and not more seeing. Stay with us, Survivor Living. We're talking to Carrie McKenna. Your life's precious. Enjoy it.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on Om Times Radio.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks. Glad you're with us today on the Vibrant Living Network. Kai Cole is in Italy as we speak, and she's such a wonderful, dynamic duo partner for sure. Talking to Carrie McKenna, diving into a very powerful subject. I want to dive into this a little with you. We're bringing an event called the Vibrant Living Summit to Rhode Island. There'll be one in New York. And it really comes from vibrant living, or vibrant, what I call vibrant speaking, which is really allowing your message to come from deep inside of you and bring it to another level. I work with people and explore how to bring these messages forward. And so, of course, met a lot of what's there is people's assumptions and conclusions in their language, right? And so you talked about we need to call it out. How did you say that? We need to call it out before we can heal it out or something. You said something. We're talking about women and the safety. Yeah.
I'd like to say so that what I mean is women need to feel heard for a change. And if we do not feel heard, then we have not been heard yet. So I agree with you that you said, if we just put out the negative, then we're just creating a bigger rift, and we're just focusing on a bad, situation and making it worse. I agree with that too. So synthesizing these two ideas that we need to feel heard, but we need to feel heard in that relational way. We need to feel heard in a way that does heal versus, when people talk about, oh, look at all the coverage and the coverage is bad, or look at all the, we're still looking outside of ourselves. What's really the point is we need to feel heard. We need to acknowledge the pain and heal it. So, I don't agree with just, many stories. I think journalism itself is all about that fear, and I don't agree with that. But talking about it, and definitely relationally talking about it in rooms with people for real, is more important.
Yeah, that's I agree with you. Through the years, I've been around Patricia's son. She's one of my, I would say, one of my mentors. Actually, the most beautiful compliment she gave me recently was, I sent her the introduction to Divorce the Patterns on Each Other. And one of the things I say in Divorce the Patterns on Each Other is that people, they really rarely ever divorce each other. What they do is they make up a graven image about each other, a darkened image, and they project it on each other.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I mean is, they begin to make up a story about the other person. Because in the beginning of a relationship, people grace each other. They give each other the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, the media, so what the media is about, what you don't like about the media is about the events, right? All the events that happen. See, and Layla Martin talked about this on her website a few weeks ago. She was saying the problem with all the Me Too and all this stuff, it just kind of makes, and what it does, it creates a graven image. It creates a conclusion and a false image of men rather than an inquiry of who, what the masculine really is. So, like, the women around me, I mean, first of all, they're really brilliant. And one of the points they make to me regularly is that this conversation creates more unsafeness. It creates a distortion. So what happens is when you create a fearful conversation, it becomes very, disembodied, disconnected. And we have a new series coming on, actually, on Inherent Health. We get really into how our thoughts, we get so distracted. One time I had someone visit me, a woman from San Francisco, another woman, and I joked, she worked at the DA's office, and she said, my friends all warned me that I shouldn't just come visit you. And I said, what we should do is I was just joking to her about it because I said, we should tie you up and send a picture. And see, the fear is so deep in not just the media, but in people's subconscious. And then with the image, they create conversation based on images. So as an example, a lot of the images about men has nothing to do with men. It's just kind of like, it has to do with distorted actions that men take. The one thing that Layla said, which I thought was so brilliant, we're going to have her on. She's going to end up being a regular contributor. She was just saying, if you ask a lot of women, they'll say, they have two images of a man. They have a docile father, a father type, and they have this deviant man. And she says, where's the image that we hold of this embodied, wondrous man who's sensuous and alive and he's sexual in a very positive way? And so my first response to it is, that's what we're exploring. We got a new show coming on called Vibrant Intimacy with Dr. Nicole Kane. And here's the thing. I lived this in my life. The first time I saw Nicole, I said, me and you, we're family. And I thought I was coming to you as a homeopath, and I realized I was coming to you as a family member. So part of it is we're addicted to a linear way of seeing things. We don't see things because we're addicted to thinking about things in a way that doesn't allow us to see. And that's part of the problem. The part of the challenge of all this media is it fills up our heads about notions rather than being in the direct experience. And that's part of when I talk about vibrant media, it's really about what is it that creates more freedom and bridges the gap And that's a challenge that I think that the challenge is that so much of what not just the media, but the conversations we're in are so conclusion and fear-based and violate Einstein's basic notion was that is the universe a friendly place to be? So making men and having a conversation based on being deviants and concluding on that, does it blocks another conversation. And again, I want to acknowledge these of my inside teachers are women. They, you know, it's really interesting. There's a difference between being neutral about something and really, really, you know, the women that I connect with, they really have this profound appreciation of the masculine energy and what that means in their lives. It's not a neutral thing. They really actually feel it. And then feeling and being in touch with it, they summon it. This woman said to me recently, she said, I'm not just a tantric lover to my husband. She goes, when I make love to him, I appreciate all men and beloved them. So we have a lot of things out there that are what sets people up to getting harmed is ignorance and fear, because we're cautioned, we're not able to physically respond in a way that's truly powerful. And there's nothing to do with empowerment, which is another big myth. All right, I want to get your take, Carrie.
I'm listening to the vocabulary that you're using sometimes. I'm hearing the energy of some words of ignorance and fear, and I hear some very hard energy.
What do you hear? What do you notice?
It seems like a very, very edgy sort of this or that energy. A very, you know, I understand what you're saying. I drifted off while you were saying it because I've said all these things myself. So I'm agreeing, you know, where you're going. But I tuned into a completely different level, and I was like, but there's a sense of how you're talking about it right now that I was just picking up. And I was like, oh, you said you've got a good handle on what you feel about all this, and your words sound very, you know, conclusive. It doesn't leave a lot of room for me to respond. How's that?
Well, that's good. I mean, part of, you know, in Tai Chi, you push hands to discover where you are. And so in some sense, when I speak this to you, Carrie, I want to kind of discover, and, you know, in some sense, that's the whole purpose of dialogue. Without your feedback, without your golden feedback, I could have a certain stance or a point of view, and I'd rather discover or make a new connection discovering with you.
Right on.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of funny because the other day I asked a friend of mine, she's a very advanced Aikido, very advanced martial artist. And I said to her, I said, Melissa, I go, there's a book I'm reading called How to Defend Yourself Without Even Trying. And I go, as an advanced Aikido master, what would you say? And she said, yeah, it comes down to humor.
Yeah.
So I called her back and I said, you know what? I said, over the last year and a half, you said two or three really brilliant things. One of them is it comes down to humor. And then Kai, I was talking to Kai about living our lives by vital rhythmic pulsation. Vital rhythmic pulsation. And she goes, that's laughter. So when I'm speaking to you, Carrie, I have such respect for your language and listening and your sense of tonality. So I love that feedback. It's not just what I'm saying, it's the tone, it's the quality of the resonance. You know, there's a lot there. And so I could soften because I regularly, like I'll, at Harvard University, me and Kai will co-present. And I love doing that because it's something I'll learn for your nervous system and your seeing. Mm-hmm. And also because that's how I guess I did a series on the relational brain. I'm really into the idea of the relational brain, the relational soul. Like, what is it that we come together that we discover something different? And I guess I think that's what's missing from personal transformation. Too personal.
Who's personal transformation? Your general personal transformation?
What's that?
What's missing from, what do you mean by missing from personal?
What's missing from personal transformation?
In general?
In general. I would say that what's happened is, you know, like, let's say for the sake of the conversation, the States, it seems what's missing from personal transformation is relational transformation. And it's mm-hmm. what's missing is that we actually need each other. So in the let's take the entrepreneurial world, right? You know, you yeah. form partnerships. You could leap through. You could triple your income. And if you're in a room full of people that really catch your words, you could triple your income by the end of the weekend. And I just think there's a practical and there's a mystical end of understanding the power of relationalness. And some people make it so hard in business that, like, I think it's a total myth you could be a solo entrepreneur. I don't buy into that at all.
No, absolutely. Solo entrepreneurs are always supposed to be in a network of others. Or how can you run your business?
Right.
Absolutely. But so, it reminds me of what we were talking about with strictly communication. Like, entrepreneurs have all this meaning and these gifts they want to bring to other people, and they need the other people, but they have to focus their message into this very narrow channel that I've been fighting against, and that attracted me to what the vibrant speaking would do in these gatherings in person is being able to focus by using everything instead of focusing by using one thing, like the sound bite. You have to pick one thing to do. Well, I can't pick one thing to do because I'm a rolfer, I'm a sister, I'm a mother. I'm things without borders and lines. And so all that I'd like to be able to bring to the message. You know, the message can be filling the message from all of the meaning that we are into a soundbite to put on a poster is what angers me today. and being able to, I don't really call myself a solo entrepreneur, but as a person who is my business, you know, my world is my business, I want to bring as much of my world into that as possible. And only that wholeness is going to help my people that want my help. You know, only my wholeness.
Give out your website, by the way, Carrie.
It's www.magicalshift.com, and that's where I have my rolfing and my healing, and my speaking.
And I want to thank Maureen Carey for being such a wonderful infinite collaboration partner. And it feels like what's happening in Rhode Island for this summit. And when I say summit, the idea is to go for the highest, go together to really amplify our relational riches, wealth, awareness, creativity, and come together and connect a lot of the community that may have not regularly connected. So a lot of brilliant people from the Rhode Island area we're looking for an environment that's very beautiful, and I'm thinking to September, and we're going to start featuring people from the Rhode Island area. I'm going to start going there, featuring inns. I'll be featuring restaurants. I'll be featuring places to go rejuvenate, renew. And, I actually really like I like the experience that we can develop and design our own careers, and we can be paid for who we are. And that it's like when you walk in a room full of people that are in that wavelength, it really is so affirming, because it seems like so much of the world doesn't operate from that. Right? It operates that you got to work hard to achieve something to finally, you know, at some point you could rest, but maybe after a lot of hard work.
Right.
Earn it. Yeah, you'll earn it, and you can get your ass kicked in the meantime.
Right.
So I'm honored to have this opportunity to have something to, because I would like you to, I'd like to partner with you and have you be one of our writers. And I have a vision for you to be a vibrant traveler, where you can travel and talk about that. I have a good sense of you that way. So
I am a traveler.
You are a traveler. Yeah, I know that. So what's today? I'm going to have dates, and we're working with Andy Hort, by the way. Andy Hort is one of our inside partners at Green Earth Enterprise, the most green printer in the country. Andy will be speaking at our event, and he'll be producing all our beautiful posters and flyers. I want to thank Andy Hort at Green Earth Enterprise. I want to thank Ariel, I call him Bomberg. He's doing the Vibrant Living Connections website and our Vibrant Living, all that stuff. Ariel Bonberg and Miranda Green. So it's kind of a dojo in the most highest level. Reverence, respect, acknowledgement. And also this idea we could bring out this in each other. We could summon this from each other. It's an art to summoning. You like that idea?
What?
You like the idea that we could bring this out of each other? You kind of bring out this this splendor, this genius in each other. We could bring it out of each other. You know, there's a way to. All right, so I want to, I want to say I'm so happy that of all the people that are excited too about the matchmaking. I want to thank Maureen, because Maureen just, we did a show a couple of weeks ago, and she was so enthused about going beyond dating and really about, you know, there's something beyond dating. There's something about chemistry. Chemistry is such light stuff, guys. There's something so much deeper. And imagine if you could meet someone in that vibrancy and keep meeting and deepening. Okay? We like that idea? Carrie, you like the idea you could go beyond dating? You can relate deeper and you can deepen your relationship into vibrancy?
Yeah. Yeah, everybody does.
I want to thank you, and I'm going to call you tomorrow in the morning, late morning. I appreciate you a lot, Carrie. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
And thank you, Maureen. You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you, Kai. Ariel. Thank you, Chris. Delight, precious, and joy. I'm Glenn Brooks of the Vibrant Living Network. Thank you.